Welcome to the Real Estate Success and Support Podcast, your resource for real estate strategies, tips, and best practices to take your business to the next level. There's no reason you can't double your sales. So let's get to it with your host, Kristen Brindley.
Hello, everyone. This is Kristen Brindley, publisher of DC Metro Real Producers, and I am here with our fantastic partner, Joseph Asamoah, and it's a pleasure to have you on. Joe, you are a valued partner of Real Producers, and your partner spotlight was in the December issue, so if people haven't checked it out yet, definitely check it out. You know, Joe, honored to have you on. Thanks for being on. Sure.
Thanks a lot. It's a real honor and privilege to be on the show today. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, so, I mean, what I think about when I think about what you do, the wealth and legacy that you create with a human touch to it, and you serve an underserved group of people while you create that, and you educate others, like 500 plus people in the area, to do the same things that you're doing. And the way that you think about the whole pie, and there's enough pie for everyone, it really resonates with me. And I feel like it really resonates with highly successful people. And so I love what you do. And I would love for everyone else to hear a little bit more about like your journey. And I mean, you have 30 DC properties, helped 500 people educated. I mean, this is, it's an honor to have you on. So tell us about that. Like, how did this all get started? Tell us your story.
I was born in Ghana, and then when we were 5 years old, I moved to England. So I lived in England until I came to the US October the 17th, 1985 at 7:30 on TWA flight 732. How about that? So as they say, it's a defining moment. Anyway, so I came to the US. I only knew one person here. That was my boss. And it just so happened that this person, the boss, he was let go from his job shortly after I arrived. And we met up several weeks later, and he told me that, you know, it's okay. This is America. These things happen. You know? You got a job today. You got no job tomorrow. You know, welcome to the real world. Yeah? So he said, it's no problem because I've got these rental properties. And this guy had like 10 houses at that time. And I just couldn't fathom how anybody could have more than one house. You know, I mean, 10 is like, whoa, what is all that about? And so he says, you know, Joe, you know, it's okay because I have this rental income coming through. I got this residual income, so I'm fine. But this could happen to you. You know, what happens if you were to lose your job? I mean, what are you going to do then? Make sure you have a plan B just in case. And so he said, you know, check out this real estate stuff. But if you do, let me give you some words of wisdom. You know, buy as many as you can and keep houses, don't sell them. And over the long haul, you'll be very appreciative of that. And so that's the words of wisdom that got me on this journey. And needless to say, I bought one of those, you know, late night infomercial products. And you too could do this, just give me a credit card, you know.
Yep.
you know the drill. And so I bought this guy's course. Anyway, the bottom line, I bought my first house in Washington, D.C. in 1987, 2 years after I arrived here. It was in an area called Columbia Heights and in Northwest Washington. And Columbia Heights of the 1980s is not the Columbia Heights of today, I tell you that. But I bought this thing for $47,000. And at the time, people said, you know, man, $47,000, you're getting ripped off. You're getting duped. You're getting scammed. but having traveled around the world, I knew there's something about capital cities. They're all the same, whether it's London, Paris, Rome, you know, they're all the same. You know, it's where the money is. It's where, you know, population centers are, and over time, real estate in those in capital cities tend to appreciate. I lived in London, so I know how it works.
Yeah.
And so I knew that over time, the prices would go up. I didn't know when, I just knew that that's just the way it works in capital cities. So I bought this house, and I mean, I don't want to bore you with the details. I had the tenants from hell. I didn't, you know, I got burnt big time. I mean, it was a nightmare. But I got through it. I survived it. And then I bought the second house and then bought the third house and just kept on going. And until 2003, when my rental income from my job equaled what I was making from, sorry, the rental income from my properties equaled my rental my income from my job. So the plan B was in place, you know, and therefore I was able to transition outside of the corporate world into being a full-time real estate investor. So that's essentially the Cliff Notes version of the story.
Well, and you've done what many people would love to do, right? So you exited corporate America and created, you know, income for yourself and over time wealth and 30 plus properties. And, you know, if you could give advice to anyone listening, what kind of advice would you give in the investor world? And, you know, what would you tell them was one of the greatest lessons you learned during that journey?
Well, I think that, I mean, I got into this not knowing anything. I knew nothing. I bought my first house. You probably knew more about real estate investing than I did when I bought my first house. You probably knew 10 times more than I do. I just bought a house, okay? Based on the infomercial, you know? And needless to say, all the horror stories I was going through wasn't included in the infomercial product, you know? So, you know, so I had to just, it was baptism by fire. And everything that could have gone wrong went wrong. I had no one to turn to, you know, it was just sink or swim. So that's essentially what I had to go through. But, you know, looking back, it's not really necessary to do that. I'm not the first one to do real estate investing. Many people do real estate investing, and there's no need to recreate the wheel, as they say. The wheel's already been created, and therefore the key is going to be, okay, then what are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? What are you good at? What are you not good at? You know, what are your goals? Do you want cash today? Do you want cash flow later on? And essentially, learn the basics. You don't need to learn everything. Just learn the basics about what it is that you want to do. I'm into the long-term hold, so I buy and keep these houses. So obviously, I rent my properties. So learn the basics of that. And then probably the most important thing is to find people who are more seasoned, more experienced, who are successfully doing what it is that you want to do. You know what I mean? You know,
I love modeling and, you know, learning from people that are much
exactly, better. Exactly. I mean, as I say, a wise man learns from his mistakes. A genius learns from other people's mistakes.
I love that.
So there's no point being a wise person. You want to be a genius. You want to learn from other people's mistakes rather than make, I mean, it's good to learn from your mistakes, but why make mistakes if you don't have to? And so, you know, so it's better to learn from other people's mistakes by identifying a seasoned people who are successfully doing what it is that you want to do. And therefore they'll tell you how to navigate this minefield. They'll help you navigate and avoid these landmines that are on this road to financial independence. And so on. So that's really the key thing, is find someone, not just people who are doing it, but people who are successfully doing it, because it's two different things. It's just like there are lots of people who are real estate agents, and there are fewer people who are successful at the, you know, top producers. You know, there are fewer of those as opposed to the pool of real estate agents. So if you want to be a top producer, you want to associate with top producers. And they'll tell you, this is how it works. This is what I did. This is what you should do, given where you are, because they have a successful track record. It's the same thing for real estate investing. You want to associate with somebody who's successfully doing what it is that you want to do in the real estate domain. And they'll tell you, this is how you do it. There's lots of investors, but there are fewer successful investors, especially investors who've been through market cycles. I've been through four of them. This is the fifth one with the COVID. So I've been through five of these cycles. So I know how they play out. And so you want to kind of associate with people who've been through the ups and downs, and they'll tell you, because it's easy to make money during the good times. It's not so easy to make money during the downtime, the bad times. But there are strategies. There are successful strategies on how to you know, perform in the good times and bad times, you know.
Yeah.
And then go and do it.
So can you tell everyone, because our real producers, just like you said, the top 500, you know, they do over 80% of the business in the greater area at about 20,000 agents. You know, it's the same in investing. Like, it's always that 80-20 rule, but it seems to be on steroids these days. So how can someone, you know, what's your website and how can someone be educated or be part of your sphere? Like, tell us, you know, how your classes work and what you're looking for here in 2021 and 2022. Like, what are you trying to do? Like, I know you buy properties and you have a ton of people you've helped in the area of buying properties. Tell us how, you know, we can get in touch with you and maybe create some of that success for ourselves.
Yeah. I mean, my website is Joe, J-O-E Asamoah, Asamoah.com. So it's joeasamoah.com. And also on Instagram and Facebook. I had about 450 Instagram followers about a year ago. I've got 11,000 now. So I'm getting there, you know. But, you know, essentially, there's different ways. From my perspective, it's all about education. You got to know what it is that you want to do. And working with the real top producers, you know, it's always difficult to find good deals. Everybody wants a good deal. You want a good deal. I want a good deal. We all want a good deal.
That's fun. Yeah.
But, you know, it's the challenge of, you know, trying to find, you know, transaction properties that make sense. I typically, in this market, it's hard to find good deals on houses that are in good condition. Because if it's in good condition, everybody wants it. You want it. And so what I realized is that, you know, you've got to kind of go for properties that are so, what I call intimidating. You know, the condition is bad. The kind of stuff when you go and you know, your nose turns up, your eyes say, "What?" Yeah, I, you know, the first house I met my wife at, the previous owner smashed every single window in. They poured cement down the toilet. They put graffiti all over the. I mean, they lost the house in a foreclosure.
And so that makes sense. Yeah, I was wondering, I'm like, why would they pour cement down? That makes sense. Okay.
Yeah, they lost the house in the foreclosure. So I think they wanted to stick it to the mortgage company on the way out, you know. If I can't have this, then yeah.
Have fun. Yeah.
Yeah, have fun, right. So that's the kind of house that I go for. Because I'm assuming that if you were to go there, Kristen, you'd you probably not make an offer on that house. So I look for houses where, you know, it's in bad condition, it's intimidating, and therefore the competition is lower, you know. So now I'm only competing with other real estate investors. I'm not really in competing with the, you know, Harry homeowner and just your regular, you know, real estate buyer. I'm not competing with them because there's no way they're going to buy those kind of houses. They can't get financing and they don't have the wherewithal to turn that thing around. So it's really that, you know, it's looking for houses in bad condition in neighborhoods that, you know, on decent neighborhoods, it doesn't have to be the best, because the thing about real estate in this area, the DC area, is that over time, neighborhoods transition. So, I mean, I'll give you the house of my first house in Columbia Heights. I mean, that was no big deal in the 80s. I mean, nowadays, Columbia Heights is $750,000, $800,000, $1 million homes up there now. Yep. I still own the house. And
you made like $750,000 on just the house. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, because time is very, what's the right word? Forgiving. You know, you can buy something today. You may think you're paying too much, but 5-10 years from now, you're thinking what a genius I was to buy at such a low price. So if you take a long-term view, then usually it tends to work itself out, you know, in this sort of the metro DC area, whether it's Maryland, DC or Virginia. But the key is you got to be able to hold on to these houses during that time. And that's where the whole idea of, you know, being a landlord, you know, the infamous landlord, yeah. You know, and making sure that you can screen to get the right tenants making sure you can manage the relationships with the tenants such that you can sort of realize, you know, the power of real estate over that time. And if you don't believe me, all you got to do is, which is why I take this to my students, I take them down to the landlord-tenant court, you know, to see the other side of this. the other side of this story, yeah. where there are landlords who are going crazy because they got tenants from hell, and you know they're pulling their hair out and so on. So it's important that if you're going to do this, you do it right. And that's what I'm saying about the whole idea is no point recreating the wheel. I know how to do this. I know how to find good tenants. I know how to manage the tenant relationships. I know how to, if things go wrong, you take care of it. I mean, these are a standard operating procedures and systems. And so, you know, so going back to, you know, why we should do this because real estate works. I mean, I don't think there's anybody in the real producers community who said, who can look you in the face and say buying real estate in the DC area is a bad idea. Yeah. I don't think there's not one person who would say that. So you don't have to convince anybody. I mean, most people get it. The issue is, how do you do it? You know, how do you buy a house and rent it? How do you buy two houses? How do you buy three houses? My boss had 10 houses. How is that possible? You know, and such that you can leverage the power of real estate, leverage things like the cash flow, the tax benefits, the equity buildup, the appreciation, the ability to leverage. How do you do all that? And that's essentially what I try to do, is to show people how it's done. And such that, you know, real estate can work for them. So rather than selling other people's houses, you can also leverage the power of real estate for yourself and build a business for yourself that, you know, you can pass on as a legacy to your family, to your children, and also you can do good as well. I mean, that's what it's all about. That's what I do.
I love what you do. So you have a live stream podcast I want people to hear about. You also, I mean, I love talking about books and your favorite quotes and things with you. So I'd love for you to share your podcast that you have, and also, you know, a couple books, maybe some quotes, you know, from you. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I have I have a weekly live stream on Instagram and Facebook. It's called Wealth Wednesdays. Wealth Wednesdays. You go to my, you know, Instagram, it's live. And so it's Joe Asamoah. The handle is, you know, Joe Asamoah on Instagram and Facebook. Every Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern time is when I do that. It's very informative. I pick on, you know, I talk about subjects pertaining to real estate investing. And I think it's pretty good. It's very informative. It's mm-hmm. educational. There's no fluff. It's about actionable, you know, subjects which you can take and use. So that's every Wednesday at 7 p.m. And then every other Friday, in fact, I'm doing one this today at 3 p.m. on the Bigger Pockets. I know there's a platform called Bigger Pockets.
Yeah, Bigger Pockets. Bigger Pockets. Yeah,
yeah, they're the largest social media platform for real estate investors in the world. I was interviewed on them about a year ago on their podcast, and it went very well, in fact. According to Brandon Turner, it's one of the best ones he's ever done, according to him. but it really bloomed, and through that, you know, that opportunity, what's it called? They invited me to host a live stream. So I host a live stream every other Friday on Bigger Pockets. And so I'm good, you know, so again, we talk about different subjects. I have guests. I've interviewed Barbara Corcoran on the Shark Tank, Mike Holmes, who's on HGTV, various other personalities and things like that. So, and I also talk about different subjects.
I love it. So, and you're an avid reader. What's a favorite quote of yours? And what about, you know, a couple of favorite books, either with real estate or outside of, you know, yeah. I enjoy a conversation with you. So what knowledge you want to drop for people?
I told you about the wise man learns from his mistakes. A genius learns from other people's mistakes. That's something that always, you know, resonates with me, because it makes a lot of sense. You know, why learn from your mistakes if you don't have to?
It's painful. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's the school of hard knocks. You know, it's expensive. It's painful. It's frustrating. And many times it's almost like, you know, we got teenagers. So, you know, you try to give advice to these teenagers, but they know it all. You know, so, you know, I mean, they don't want to listen. They know everything. So, you know, unfortunately, they have to learn the hard way. And then eventually they'll learn that maybe the advice that we're giving them was sound advice. But, you know, yeah. They have to go through that process. But I'm just saying, it's not necessary. If they were smart.
they don't need to do that. Yeah.
Yeah, they do this, but they don't want to hear it. So they just do it anyway. and so on. So yeah, so that's one. In terms of books, a real good book, in fact, was The Real Estate, The Millionaire Real Estate Investor by Gary Keller. He's the owner of Keller Williams. And that's a really, really good book. The Millionaire Real Estate Investor, it taught me a lot. It breaks it down, the systems, the processes, the procedures, the team, you know, all those different things. It's heavy reading, but it's good reading. And
I have it over there. I would agree with you.
Yeah, so that's heavy, a good right?
Yeah.
It's a heavy reading one. I'm also an avid listener of audiobooks. So I got a boatload of audiobooks. There's one called The Productivity Project. That's a good one. And I forgot the name of the author. And there's just a lot of good stuff out there. That's what comes to mind. Essentially what he's saying there, the author, was that, you know, in the olden days, when people worked in the agricultural fields, your productivity was based on the time. So you work 5 hours, 10 hours, you get paid 5 hours, 10 hours. But in this sort of knowledge age, just because you work 5 hours doesn't necessarily mean you're productive. If that makes sense. You can work 5 hours and get nothing done. And so essentially he's saying that, what's the best way to be productive in this kind of environment? And he essentially breaks it down to three things. One is your productivity is based on the time that you have available, okay, to do the task at hand, obviously. So if you've got a major, like if we're doing this podcast or interview, it's maybe an hour's long. Now, if you've only got 15 minutes available, it doesn't make sense for us to do the podcast.
Right? Yeah,
It doesn't work because we need an hour, okay? So it depends on how much time you have available. That's the first one. The second thing, it's your, your attention. How much time do you have to focus, okay? Because if you're able to focus, you can get more done. You know, we're kind of in the social media environment, email environment, you know, text messaging environment, whereby you're constantly being distracted. And so it's difficult to have that attention span. So what he's saying is that you time block your day, whereby essentially, you know, you allocate 15, 20, 30 minutes, an hour, where you block everything out. And then you focus on that task at hand, whatever that task is, probably the most important task for the day. Focus on that and you're more likely to get more done during that time block time rather than scattering over the day. And then the third part is the energy. You know, how much energy do you have? You know, I'm a morning person, so I can wake up at 4 o'clock and I'm rolling. You know, I have a workout and I'm just rolling. So by 9 o'clock, I've got a whole bunch of stuff done. And so I have the most energy during the morning times. So if I want to get a lot of stuff done, you do it when you have the most energy, which for me would be in the morning, where you can time block, focus on certain things, and you can allocate the time for that. And therefore you can become more productive. That's essentially the gist of what he was saying. And, and there are times like in the evenings, my energy level after 8 o'clock, it's just like goes to zero. Yeah. So, you know, so there are times in the day where you have less energy and therefore you can still get stuff done, but you don't want to do stuff that requires a lot of, you know, effort and attention. You can start doing other things, which, you know, you clean the house, you know, you put headphones on, still clean. I mean, it, you know, you don't need a lot of attention for that. You can do that in the background kind of thing where you got low levels of energy. So he was saying that the activity requires a lot of thought, attention, energy, and so on. It's best to do it during those blocks of time. I mean, it's just a whole bunch. I mean, I'm into audio books. So I listen to that kind of stuff. And it's just fascinating. You know, so I do that while I'm working out and so on. Yeah.
I love, thank you. Now I wrote down notes actually. And I appreciate you sharing with everybody. And, you know, Joe, it's an honor to have you as a partner and I love what you do. And check out Joe and his live stream on Instagram and also the this YouTube. Make sure you check out anything else with Bigger Pockets or anything else he's got out there because it's a gem. So pleasure to have you on, Joe.
No, it's been an honor, Kristen, and hopefully this is helpful for the audience. And again, you know, my goal, as far as I'm concerned, the pie is big enough for everybody. It doesn't matter if everyone does what I do. It's not like they're going to buy the whole of DC, they're going to buy the whole of Maryland. It's not going to happen, you know. But if you do good, you develop relationships and you develop, you know, and people will bring me opportunities. I meet new people and hopefully we can expand the circle. And so on. So that's what it's all about. It's you know, make money, but also do good, and hopefully you know, you'll get your blessings as well.
Thank you so much, Joe. You heard it here at DC Metro Real Producers. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you. Thanks, Kristen.
Thanks for listening to the Real Estate Success and Support Podcast. To get even more information to take your real estate business to the next level, visit kristenbrindley.com. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe and tune in next week. And until then, please leave us a review on iTunes.